soundbite from part one of the Gruick Report podcast interview with former WWE superstar Paul London.
I mean, I don't know if you want to necessarily go into it, but for public record, we've actually seen some checks that TNA has sent out as far as royalties go. I think one guy, I believe, got like $5 from them as a royalty check. So,
oh man,
what was it?
I have a royalty check from them. Yeah. I have a royalty check from them for 97 cents.
Wow. I never
cashed it. Hello, Earthlings. This is Paul London, the Intrepid Traveler, former champion of tag team and cruiserweight circles in the world of wrestling that is entertaining. You're listening to the Gruick Report with Earthling Steve Gruick and other Earthling Frank V. Continue to listen, or you will be zapped out of eternity. Goodbye.
Part two of the Gruick Report podcast interview with Paul London.
Because what I'm kind of getting from you, you worked there, you worked there for years.
Are
you,
sure.
You're kind of saying there that McMahon and people around him don't really appreciate the talent. I mean, they don't really appreciate the fact that you went out there, you put your body on the line, you're doing the 450s and all this other stuff. You're pretty much saying that they don't really give a shit. I mean, at the end of the day, hey, I don't give a damn what Paul London and Brian Kendrick did. It's all about what John Cena did over here.
Yes, and there's a few waves in that. And the wave is Cena's the biggest moneymaker, right? So, of course, they're going to pay attention to their investments. The only part that they would seem concerned with our physical well-being would revert back to their own greedy selves, in the sense that, for example, we wrestled these guys called mariachi dancer guys, not the Dicks. Was it the Dicks? Yeah, I think it was the Dicks. It was the Dicks. These Chad Dick and Tank Tall. Anyways, these guys were called the Dicks, and they were on TV for a cup of coffee, and we had a match with them on Velocity. Well, again, me trying to literally kill myself in order to let this company see, like, this guy is willing to kill himself for you, for this company, to elevate this company as best as he feels he has the ability to do, given his parameters on Velocity. This guy is literally willing to make Velocity a must-see show because of the shit that he's willing to do. That was my mentality. I jumped off one of their backs to do like a backflip over the top rope to the floor, and it ended up looking, I mean, it was extremely risky. I'm lucky I didn't kill myself on this thing, but it ended up looking like a pole vaulters or a high jump shooting star jump off of someone's back over the top rope to the floor. It's gross. No one got hurt. Anyways, it came to the back, and Vince was never so furious with me. Well, he was, but that was one of the times he was extremely furious with me. And the vibe I got was that he doesn't want another death on his conscience. He doesn't want his company to have bad press because somebody got hurt. It has nothing to do with the individual. It wasn't like, oh my God, what would we ever do without you if you actually hurt yourself? You can't do that to us. Oh, we love you. You can't do that to us. No, it was, you stupid son of a bitch. You're going to make this company look unsafe. You're going to make this company look, just chaotic and da-da-da, like it's bad press, da-da-da-da-da. It's like, dude, this is Velocity. Nobody even knows this show exists. But no, I mean, here is the absolute tell-all, blatant, no, they don't give a damn about your body. What is the, for anyone who's ever been under contract for WWE, what do they get as far as therapy? What is WWE offered to anybody who's ever been under contract?
That's a good question. I don't know.
They offer them drug rehab, free drug rehab. Okay. So if anyone's ever been under contract, Coco Beware, anybody, who cares, what era, you can go and check yourself into a drug rehab facility through them, right? They pick the clinic because it probably has cameras in it. And they pick the clinic, But they pay for everything. If a former or current employee wants to attend drug rehab. Now, don't you think that that same kind of offer would be taken up upon by so many more guys if it was physical rehab? If you want to check into physical rehab, then we will pay for that. But no, it's just drug rehab, right? Well, why the fuck do you think these guys need drugs? Because their bodies are destroyed. Their bodies are destroyed. That's why they have drug problems. And so you want to capitalize and say, oh, we'll offer free drug rehab. But that's just a bunch of PR bullshit, if you think about it, because they just want to look good. Oh, no, we're taking care of our guys. We're taking care of our family. No, you're not. If you were taking care of your talent, you would offer physical rehab. That's what you would offer. Then so many guys probably wouldn't even need the drugs, because they would physically be built back up naturally and correctly, instead of just going through all this kind of psychobabble therapy bullshit that, you know, is up there in the drug rehab program that they end up revealing who shows up at their drug rehab facility anyways. You know, it's just, it's nasty. It's nasty, you know? So it's another reason I don't trust them. The second you literally make it seem like you care about my physical well-being, then I'll give you everything I got, because then I know that you actually care about my well-being, my health, not just about your track record, you know?
So, okay, that's a good transition to my next question for you really quick. Right now, you know, we have a situation going on in the world of wrestling. You probably know about it. The WWE's doctor is now suing CM Punk and Colt Cabana after comments made by CM Punk on Colt Cabana's podcast in relation to his physical well-being at WWE. I mean, apparently the guy had a staph infection in his lower back that went undiagnosed, and the doctor was giving him Z-Packs and all this other garbage. And Punk actually said that he went to, you know, his wife's doctor in Florida, and the guy said, you have a staph infection, you could have died. And now the doctor is suing Punk for saying that his reputation
defamation
and his reputation is ruined. So, I mean, you were there. Please. You were there when the wellness policy was enacted in WWE. I'm pretty sure this might be the same doctor who's been there for years. What do you think about the current situation?
I don't know. I mean, that's all completely foreign to me, honestly. I don't keep up with podcasts or who's saying what. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I think anybody with money is always going to protect themselves and want to possibly look for more money. But, I mean, if the guy's in business, he has a right to try and protect his business. I mean, I don't know what was said, so I can't really make an accurate comment. And I don't even know who the doctor is or which doctor they're referring to. But,
Dr. Amon, is I think that's his name?
I have no idea. Yeah, he wasn't there when I was there. I had two doctors that were there when I was there, and they were both actually extremely nice and helpful for me. And I had a really bad back injury as well, and I was getting cortisone shots in my back almost on a weekly basis, which, again, is just kind of a Band-Aid, you know, if you think about it. It's not really getting to the problem. The guys don't want to take the time off because then their storylines disappear, or they're finally getting some attention from the office, and now they're hurt, and it's like, well, I don't want to lose this, you know, I'll just put another Band-Aid on it. And slowly that develops possible dependencies, you know, and that's dangerous. It's walking a real fine line with trouble. I mean, as you demonstrated by mentioning, I didn't know that about Punk and his having a staph infection. That, you know, I've heard of staph infections being lethal at times. That I'm happy that his head got taken care of. I mean, that could have been really bad, and that's awful. I remember when Bob Holly had a staph infection in his elbow, and it was horrible. And I mean, he almost lost his arm.
Yeah.
So that's no joke. But I just corporate and wrestling, man. I just don't know that it mixes. It's just about the dollar. It's really just about the dollar. And if you have a racehorse that's sick or injured, I mean, there's 100 more racehorses being bred to take its place, you know, so it's rough, you know. There's a lot of us, you know, sitting around waiting to be turned into glue, unfortunately, but I don't use glue. I just use saliva. No. I don't know, man. I miss the money. That's the only thing I really kind of miss, but I don't, that's just because, like I said, it's just a facilitator. But even that, it's not worth it to me, you know. I'd rather just be broke and happy than
have money and be miserable.
Yeah, you know, it's there's lessons in all of it, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, does this doctor seem like he has any leverage with the loss? I mean, it just seems
It's funny because it all started. I mean, apparently Punk has been disgruntled and pissed off with WWE for a long time, and apparently the whole thing came to fruition last January at the Royal Rumble was his last appearance for the WWE, and then he went on hiatus, and you know, of course, now he's on the UFC. But WWE the other day, when the doctor, you know, said he was going to sue Punk and Colt Cabana, WWE released this 3-minute video on their YouTube channel, which shows different angles of Punk's back from the Royal Rumble match. Now, Punk said that he had a golf ball size or baseball size, you know, deal on his back. Back. And they released a video where they're showing his back, which you don't see nothing. But Punk did say that the damn thing was beneath the tights. So in case they, unless they got a video, which I don't want to see, of Punk's ass, you can't really see it.
It's pretty awesome ass. I've seen it. No, I'm kidding. It's hard to trust anything that's been edited, you know?
Yeah.
There's that word again. You know, who knows? I wish all parties the best in their endeavors. I don't know.
That's the corporate line right there.
That's it, man. That's it. Big surprise, right? Big surprise. The money, the rich want to get richer. So, but I'm proud of Punk for looking after himself and taking care of himself. I think that's really interesting though. I mean, how you pointed out, he was on top at that time. He's apparently was pretty miserable, right? I mean, what does that tell you when a guy's tops, you know, he's at the top in the company and he's still having massive problems? You know, I mean, what does that tell you? I was there when we got pulled into a room out of the blue. I'm trying to remember where it was. Might have been in Minneapolis. No, maybe not. But we were pulled out of the blue into a room because Brock Lesnar, our world champion, was announcing that he just didn't enjoy it anymore. He wanted to go play pro football. You know, so that was one of the most eye-opening things for me when I was there. Was sitting there figuring out, and I like Brock. Like, we got along. We weren't like friends or anything. Like, I didn't go hunting with him or anything, or, you know, shoveling bales of hay. But I liked the guy, and I respected the hell out of him because I thought, like, this guy is a man's man. Like, this is a real man, you know? And I think he's great for wrestling because I was fortunate enough to be in the houses that he filled. Him and Bradshaw, you know, and Eddie Guerrero, and I was fortunate to be in these houses in Benoit. These guys, you know, they filled these houses. Cena, obviously. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've thanked Cena for the houses that he built, but I think Brock is amazing for business just because he's as believable as it gets, in my opinion. But when this guy, who's, you know, I mean, he was so upset and miserable, he bought his own jet so he wouldn't have to travel with everybody, you know? And it's like, man, when you have your own jet and you're still miserable, what's going on?
Well, Punk had his own bus.
Yeah, but this is a jet, man.
I know.
I mean, a bus would be cool as shit, too, man. I would love to have, are you kidding? You know, have your own bus, that'd be awesome. But the point is, you know, what's the basis for all this misery, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's certainly not a
lack
too,
of money. He's got a bigger excuse. he'd have to get two jets.
So how do they get away? I don't think I asked this on the last interview we did. How does WWE get away with that independent contractor status where they basically say, hey, you're at our mercy, you go here, you don't do this, you know, you make an appearance here, you can't do this? I mean, I know it's been challenged somewhat. I know by Raven and some of the other people have come forward and tried to challenge it. Just in general, how do they get away with that?
Corporate fear, like, you know, threats, I think.
Intimidation?
It's a contract. You know, it's a contract. When you sign a contract, it's all in there. It's all in the fine print. You know what I mean? I think a lot of guys are so gung-ho to get that contract in the mail that they open it you know, I've heard interviews of guys who are just like, you know, I just got the contract in the mail and I just signed it in a read. I just went right to the back page and signed it right away. You know, I didn't care. That was all I wanted to want it. I was like, you are a smart man. No, not at all. I'm fortunate that my dad's an attorney and my stepmom's an attorney. They're not like the ambulance chaser types. And they're pretty damn good people. And they've helped a lot of lives. You know, so I was fortunate to just be like, do you mind reading this? And, you know, they flagged the hell out of my contract. They're like, do you understand this? Now what they're actually saying, do you understand what they're actually saying here? Now do you see that? Like, I mean, they handed
you're
me my
not
contract
an employee,
back
you're a slave, right?
Oh, it was, you know, we're not responsible
in the whip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not responsible in the course of, you know, death and this. And it was like, it was rough. You know, as if my parents didn't have enough reasons to hate the fact that I was getting into wrestling, becoming, you know, a wrestler. They're like, this contract disproves everything we've ever told you. okay, Dad, thanks. I'm going to sign it anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Seriously, just ignorant, man. I mean, not that I would take that back. You know, how would I have known? You know, how would I have known if I didn't go for
WWE, myself, man. You know? I mean, it's a WWE. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
if you're in wrestling, if you don't want to go there, you're full of shit. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, you're totally full of shit. If you don't want to at least
wrestler.
Have that taste. Yeah. Now I get it. If you came up in Japan and like New Japan could be like your WWE, you know, like I get that. But for the most part, yeah, I mean, that's where you want to be. So I'm real happy, you know, I'm fortunate. I was extremely lucky. I mean, I worked my ass off, but I got really lucky and just wouldn't take no for an answer. You know, I mean, I literally would do anything for that job. I would have done anything for that job. I wouldn't do anything for that job now. I might do anything for other jobs or other goals that I have now in my head, but very few of them are wrestling-related goals. You know, I mean, I feel pretty happy and confident with what I've done. You know, I mean, I really did a lot more than I ever set out to personally and surprised myself a lot more than not. And so I've really enjoyed it. You know, I've had a great ride. Not that I'm looking to exit or whatever anytime soon, but you just never know. You never know. I mean, the offers sometimes don't always come banging on your door, and you know, the phone doesn't really always ring as much as you might want it to, or you know, sometimes life just goes in waves, you know, it goes in dips, and it's really how you respond to all of it, I think, is what defines you. So it's no different than, as I mentioned earlier in the training, it's all a process. The whole thing is a process, you know, so you can really kind of enjoy the ride more than, you know, that's living.
Let me ask you this. Did you ever suffer a concussion while you were working for WWE, and do you think it was diagnosed correctly?
I don't think it was diagnosed at all. No, I suffered concussions there. Concussion, I can't even pronounce the damn word. Yeah, I know I suffered concussions there. I know I have. You can't remember any of them, but there you go. I'm joking. I do remember taking a 450 foot stomp to the face from Juventud Guerrero. This is when the 450 actually got banned to me, when it was done badly on me. Does that make sense?
No, I understand.
Yeah. Basically, all my top rope moves were taken away from me when I was the one that got hurt by a top rope move. Not me hurting someone else with the top rope move. I was the victim of the top rope move, so all my top rope moves got taken away.
And you know what? I think that was at the time when they took it away from you. I think one of the big controversies at the time was they were allowing Evan Bourne and Matt Sydal to do them.
No. This is way before that. Way before that.
Okay.
This is when Kidman eventually did the shooting star that almost killed Chavo. I don't know if you remember that. He drove the knee right into his head.
Oh, yeah.
And Chavo was out for... Oh, no, that was at a SmackDown.
SmackDown?
I want to say, it was at a SmackDown.
Okay, because I saw Kidman botch that move a bunch of times.
We all did. Watch him botch it, not botch it herself. But yeah, he was the first one I saw ever do it. And then I saw Liger do it. I thought that was awesome. But yeah, I mean, I took a 450 from Juventud, and he stepped right on my orbital.
Yeah.
And so I had to go get a CAT scan after that. But I worked the next day, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that was the only time I ever got a CAT scan there. But I know that wasn't the only time I ever was feared for having a concussion, so.
Okay, because Punk said that the concussion, what did he say, Steve? Punk said that the what did they do? The testing that they do at WWE is one of the other things he brought up for concussions. He said it was a joke.
Yeah, I don't know. I just remember there was a time when they had us all do physicals. And I had to like run on a treadmill with the breathing apparatus and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, that was the only thing I ever really remember about that. I remember there was a period when there was no pile drivers, no chair shots, none of that stuff. I don't know if that's still there. But anyways, as far as like stuff testing in the back, I mean, I don't remember any of that.
Did you get a concussion?
Not remembering.
I just wonder, did you get a concussion at the Royal Rumble 2005 when you were eliminated by Gene Snitsky with a clothesline from the apron?
I wish I had. Because then I might not have remembered all the aftermath, which was just another eye-opening experience for young, fresh, upstart Paul London back then in, what, 2005 or 6, whatever it was. I think it was 2005. Yeah, I didn't. No, I'm proud to say I orchestrated that whole thing, and rightfully got, well, not rightfully, but well, in their eyes, I got in trouble for doing it. Here's the thing that was just very confusing to me, was I thought, okay, if I'm running a business and I have employees or talent or performer or whatever, I would love it if they all gave every ounce of their ability every time. I mean, to me, that would be, like, I'm running an amazing ship here when all my guys are just giving everything. That's what I would want. But to chastise somebody for giving everything they have, I mean, tell somebody that their performance was good, but then telling them that it was a problem because it was actually too good, what are they supposed to take away from that? Don't try as hard? I mean, you know what I mean? That was my critique from the Royal Rumble. That was good, but it was too good. They were pissed off.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. That was also the night that McMahon blew his quads.
Oh, well, this was before that, though. So, yeah. I mean, a couple hours, like an hour before that.
Right.
You know, maybe already blew him out, and he was just puppeteering to the ring. That was kind of funny, though. How many guys get hurt just getting into the ring, right? I mean, it seems like everybody tears a quad or breaks their nose or just sliding into the ring. Anyways, yeah. So it was just one of those things, you know, where, again, it's they're going to use the hell out of it now. They're going to highlight it and act as though it's something they're very proud of. But at the time, they, you know, because if you look at it, there was no follow-up in that Royal Rumble. I mean, there was no follow-up. I can't even tell you what my matches were after that, because this was just thrown away, you know, as opposed to capitalizing on that moment and doing something with it. It was just tossed away. Howdy, howdy, howdy. This is the Cosmic Interpreter and your hero of the prophecy, Paul London. You're listening to the Gerwick Report with Steve Gerwick and Frank D. And they both really enjoy garlic. So keep listening to the Gerwick Report. I'm Paul London, your hero of the prophecy. Goodbye.
Who was the worst worker you ever worked with, the sloppiest guy in the ring?
Ken Anderson.
Mr. Anderson.
Terrible.
Mm. Yeah. I've heard that.
There's no regard for anybody else. No regard for anyone's well-being. Heavy, hard to, just very hard to work with, like physically. He thinks he's amazing, so that makes it even harder to work with.
That's the key word you said. He thinks.
Yeah, exactly.
Words.
Yeah.
Because I think
I'd rather wrestle a car door than that guy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just, it's, yeah.
I've heard you have some interesting an interesting perspective or theory on what happened in Montreal in 1997.
Oh, jeez. I don't. I think I did an interview talking about it, and it was I don't remember what I said, but it was some silly nonsense. I don't really know what happened in Montreal. I know that I really liked Wrestling with Shadows. I loved that documentary when it came out. And here's something that, that doesn't surprise me. To say what really happened there, the theory there, I don't know, but that's a level of wrestling superstardom that I didn't quite ever get to. So it's still a crystal ball to me to look at that and try and put my thoughts on it, because it kind of seems like that's the kind of thing that wrestling needs more of. You know what I mean? Like the more actual shoot controversy, that's what would make things really more interesting, to see like people that you legit think hate each other and they're going at it and this and that. I mean, unfortunately, the advent of social media has made it to where, unfortunately, all the wrestling fans can see how much all these guys really like each other and love working with each other and love being together and love hanging out with each other. And it's just like, I thought you guys hated each other. Now you're just glazing each other on social media. It's weird, you know?
There is no more kayfabe.
None. Unfortunately, none. I was at this show last night that I was mentioning here in Austin, and it's at a club, and there's a balcony where fans go, and there's an upper part of the locker room, and guys just putting their stuff, just going over their match, you're not telling there's people right there who can see what you're doing. Like, oh, please, something, you know what I mean? Try to keep some form of illusion, please. And I've done that. I mean, I've praised guys that I've worked with, but it wasn't, you know, we didn't have a blood feud or anything like that. But I think just nobody buys it anymore. You know, nobody buys there's no reason to buy the storylines. But what about the days when you legit believed it? You know, you legit hated this guy. You legit thought he was just mean as shit. Or just, that's to me the really interesting stuff. Like, what happened? When was the last time you're like, what happened? What? Say that again? Nothing really grabs my attention on TV anymore. So, I mean, if I were to watch a wrestling program, it would really only be because someone said, oh, my God, you got to check this out. Or I have access to see it. I want to keep up with my friends, you know. And I heard Kendrick, like I said, is on there, NXT. I think he's maybe in line to be a trainer or something there. I'm not sure. But, I wish him the best. I think that would be awesome for him and for the company. So, yeah, who knows?
earlier I was talking about the incident where, Mr. McMahon was blown up in a limo, and WWE kind of backed off that angle due to the events that we will learn about that happened the next week. And
Benoit.
And it's funny because, Steve and I here on GRP have brought up the Benoit situation many times. There's been a lot of controversies about that, a lot of theories about what happened. There are people out there that have the rights to their opinion, and they can, say what they want. A lot of people have the feeling that Kevin Sullivan was responsible for the Benoit tragedy there. I'm smart enough to know, just like Steve, just like you, he was not responsible for it. But what's Paul London's take on the Benoit tragedy? I mean, you worked with Chris Benoit. How was Chris Benoit? What were your interactions like with him, and what did you think when the whole thing went down? And you can also mention that that book we were talking about offline as well.
Yeah, sure. I loved Chris, to be honest with you. I thought he was great. He was one of the guys I looked forward to seeing whenever I go to the building, because if you're going to want to gain anyone's approval or respect, in my opinion at the time, I mean, it was him. Just because I idolized this guy growing up, I mean, who wasn't a Chris Benoit fan? I'm curious to know. It's so believable. As far as guys gave everything, every time he was out there, he gave everything, and that translated so well to the audience. And so I loved being around him. Early on, in Brian and I's career, him and Bob Hall, he took us under their wings and trained us and you know, we worked out with them, and it was kind of a young boy relationship where we, you know, we picked them up from the airport, and we did all the driving, and we'd be at the gym at, you know, 5 a.m. and go eat breakfast, and, you know, kind of acclimate to their diets and learn just the way that they do things and learn from them. So it was really a privilege to be a part of that and to get to peek into his lifestyle. And so I loved being with Chris. I loved being around him. He was very empowering. He's actually one of the first people to ever really teach me how to empower myself. Believe it or not, it was Chris. I mean, he was one of the first and only people up there, I'll say, who taught me to stand up for myself. Because there's a lot of bullying going on, you know, and it's just, whenever you have new guys come in and guys feel threatened, there's going to be some bullying going on. Maybe guys have their egos and they make it disrespected and you didn't realize it and now they're going to get back at you. And like, it's just all sorts of, you know, high school. You know, who wants to go back to high school? So, well, probably a few people listening are like, well, fuck it, I just have one more chance. Yeah, so, but Chris was, he really, man, he would empower me. He would teach me how to empower myself and feel that I belonged there. And Bob as well. Bob was another one. And JBL. I mean, there are a few guys who I looked at as like the legit tough guys. I was like, well, if I'm going to listen to anybody, I'm going to listen to these guys. You know what I mean?
Right.
you know, like, these are the guys I want on my side. And I rode with Chris and I rode with Jamie Noble for a while. But I just saw how, you know, I learned how intense you needed to be as far as with your training, but in the ring as well. And so I was devastated, but again, I was, I think, I didn't know what to think when they told us what had happened, because we were in Corpus Christi, and I think I was supposed to get, like, devoured by Snitsky as more punishment for the limousine thing. And I think Bruce Campbell was there at Corpus Christi, and they ended up just calling off SmackDown altogether because they pulled us all in the bleachers, and they, you know, they reported it as though Chris had been murdered, and, you know, it was just this murder-homicide situation going on at the Benoit house. And it was weird because nobody could get a hold of him the days prior. We were doing, like, a Texas loop, and he was supposed to come in for our house shows, and he wasn't there. And then I think he was supposed to do a pay-per-view, I think, that Sunday, and then we were at Raw on Monday. I think it was like a Raw Super Show on Monday in Corpus. And then they did the SmackDown from San Antonio Tuesday after it had been announced. And that was the SmackDown where they said everyone was, it was voluntary to go to. But they just used it as a giant testimonial kind of witness you, Chris video diary thing, which I did not go to, actually, even though San Antonio's about an hour away. It just didn't seem, something wasn't right. Something seemed really odd. And obviously, I mean, I had Jimmy Yang and Matt Sydal with me that weekend. Like, they just came and stayed at my house. And we all kind of grieved and coped with it together because it was just really bizarre for the three of us. And for Jimmy Yang in particular, I think, because he has a daughter. So when there was news of the child, you know, child's life being taken as well, I mean, that really affected Jimmy as well. So I think actually Sydal was the only one to go to the SmackDown out of the three of us because he was still so new. But it just seemed really fishy. The way that they were explaining everything just seemed odd. It just seemed really odd. I mean, it was just, so yeah, I mean, years later I picked up this book called Chris and Nancy, and it's either by Phil or Ivan Mushimovic, one of these long names I can't pronounce. But it's called Chris and Nancy. It's an interesting read and has a lot of insight, supposed insight on that whole situation from like the Wikipedia post, you know, being addressed back to Stanford and just really odd stuff. There's a chat segment in that book where it alludes to someone in the office actually knowing and being on the phone with Chris during that weekend. And you just had the idea that they knew what was going on and they were pretending dumb. So, yeah, just a really rough awkward time to be there. Because then you're looking at the, you know, you turn on the TV and it's just constant news feeds. I think Nancy Grace was the worst. Most of them were terrible. But you know, then like the whole wrestling industry kind of had to stand up for itself at the same time and almost point this guy out as kind of like, this is a crazy ordeal. This would never happen, you know. Like, this is a crazy ordeal. Like, this is not wrestling. It's just, it's one case, you know. And that was
Roid
hard to
rage.
Chew on for a while. Yeah, they did roid rage, the concussion.
Every day was roid rage. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You remember those feeds on TV.
Oh, yeah,
just,
I do.
You know,
oh, yeah.
You know, so when you're waking up and it's like, hey, what do you do for a living? It's like, you know. Funny enough, Hulk Hogan had a tour in Australia several years back. Unfortunately, this is the tour that Umaga passed away on when he came back. And I was supposed to be on that tour. And I called my agent that I worked with at the time, and I asked him, can you please take me off this tour? Because I was so disgusted after reading this book that I didn't want to have anything to do with any of it, wrestling or any of it. I just thought, why am I sacrificing myself for people that don't give a shit? You know, like, why am I? I'm like, I'm gonna go and be a part of this Hulk Hogan tour. Hulk Hogan has no clue who the hell I am. I'm gonna go and sacrifice and help promote this guy's tour and make a penny when everyone else is making hundreds of thousands or whatever color it is. But I was just put off. So I got taken off that tour after reading this book. And I don't know, I mean, the book could be just nonsense, but it got me, you know. Everything I read kind of matched up, and I was like, holy shit. So there's a G plug for Phil or Ivan. I read this book a while back, so but it was good. It was a good read. A very creepy read. But that whole thing was just depressing. And I miss Chris. I think he was the real deal. And I've mentioned this in the past, but he pulled me and Brian aside in one of our last European tours and told us, he said, you guys are the future here. Like, when they pull their heads out of their asses and realize that you guys are the future here, it's you against each other that's going to make this company millions of dollars. And we were just blown away at the fact that he would pull us aside, single us out as the guys to carry this company into the future, because he legit thought, you know, he thought that highly of us. And there's just no better praise than that, you know, comes to him. I mean, that's how much we respected and do respect him. Yeah, it's tragic. So.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, with you saying that, what's your current stance on WWE ever since that incident happened? WWE has kind of, unless you have the WWE Network, they have kind of erased Benoit from the history books. As far as, you know, Randy Orton wrestled Benoit, we all know this. Randy Orton wrestled him and you know, won the World Heavyweight Championship. But if you look at the WWE's website, it says that, you know, it never happened. What do you think about that? And what do you think about just omitting him from the history books, period?
I think it's immature. I think it's irresponsible, to be honest with you, because anyone who cares enough about the industry, about the company, or, you know, the art of professional wrestling, anyone who cares enough about it will stumble upon Chris Benoit one way or another. So you're just kind of making yourself look like an asshole by pretending that you had nothing to do with him when it's obvious that you did. You know, you don't see the internet erasing him. You don't see Wikipedia not existing because of him. You don't see, you know, like, the internet will now erase all mention of Chris Benoit also because we don't want to be affiliated with it. You know, it's like, no, these are cold, hard facts. This happened. You're not doing yourself any favors by acting like it didn't, you know? Like, so you might lose some sales from parents who are like, I don't want you buying that video if it has that guy on it. Like, I don't know. I'd be willing to think that that would be such a small demographic of people that would not allow their, you know, people are going to find the stuff anyways. You know, you tell me you can't find Benoit stuff on YouTube? Of course you can. Unless I'm mistaken. I mean, I'm pretty sure you can find all sorts of wonderful Benoit stuff on YouTube. Can you not? I mean, he's a part of history, whether they want to admit it or not. He's a part of history. And what I find more disgusting is they would spend so much money, just to redo their entire catalog to get rid of them, when that money could be used to improve the lives of the talent that are currently working there. Whether it's, you know, trying to set up this physical rehab program that I mentioned or something. You know, you're more concerned with pumping millions of dollars into saving your image than actually being big boys about it and saying, no, this happened. This is a legit problem. This happened. We're going to address this. We're going to address this professionally, and we're going to address this in a way that lets our talent know that we have their best interests in mind, and la-da-da-da-da-da, you know, but it's a fact. It happened. It happened. You know, it saddens me that they would go to those lengths to do what they think would save them face by erasing them from their memory bank, but it's just, I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah, they usually, I mean, I don't know if you have the WWE Network or not, but they...
I don't even have a TV, man.
Really? Okay, well, they put a disclaimer up about they said that one of the things they were going to do with the network, because somebody asked them, they said, are you going to have Chris and Ron on the network? Well, they said they thought about it, and yeah, they're going to have them on the network, but they usually put up a disclaimer anytime the Benoit stuff comes up, but that disclaimer shows up on the end-end thing you watch on there. And it says that you know, WWE characters are actors, pretty much is what it's saying, and that, you know, WWE corporate doesn't agree with anything that the talent does when they're not a part of WWE or something to that effect. So
I wonder how. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in the meeting room of them trying to put the exact right words together of this little warning sign that they're going to put up on them. You know what I mean? Like, what word should we use? How do we disassociate ourselves from the actual people that we hire? Damn it. What word should we use for this little warning that we're going to, in hopes, make lots of money now by going back and putting them back in our network so we can get, you know, sell some more network packages? But let's put this warning on here and, you know, save face.
Isn't that funny, though? They don't put them now. He won't. He's not going to be on the DVDs, but he is on. He's on the network. Anything that Chris
big surprise
on is on the. It's on the network. But as far
big
as
surprise.
Like DVDs and video games, it ain't going to happen. And that disclosure, like I said, they put up there about you guys being actors and WWE. You know, the talents that portray the actors, they're not responsible for any actions that they do.
Yeah, I don't. That's thanks, guys. Yeah, it's just silliness.
That's where it's in his head.
Absolutely.
If he likes it, you're in. If he doesn't like it, he pees on you. So, you know.
That's true. You know, he's delusional. He is quite delusional. I used to have writers tell me that they would write me onto every show, and that the first thing that Vince would do whenever they would present the show at the writers' meeting was he would comb the whole show and find my name first and put a line through it.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was extremely motivating for me to want to continue working there. So I sent him a fruit basket, and I did used to steal candy. I did used to steal candy out of his office, though.
You should send him a fruit basket for that muscle and fitness cover he did the other day.
Oh my God. Yeah. Should send a fruit basket to the Photoshop
publisher. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, honestly. You know, like, who's the editor on this thing? Like, wow, this is.
Whose body is that, really? Come on.
Yeah, honestly. Like, what in the world? The studio, that's. I haven't seen it, but I heard about it, and it just, sliding into the ring, man, blowing out both quads.
Here's a sneak preview of part 3 of our interview with Paul London.
What's your thoughts on Samoa Joe leaving TNA, and where do you think he's going to end up?
Samoa. let me funny thing. I am the Great Islands of Samoa. Sorry, he can pick whichever one he wants.
Hey, what's up out there, everybody? You already know what I'm going to say, so I'm going to make it short and sweet. You can go over to youtube.com/Gurick Report Podcast and hear previous interviews and clips of different interviews we've done with the likes of Teddy Long, Honky Tonk Man, Vince Russo, just recently added Ted DiBiase. So like and subscribe to us today, youtube.com/Gurick Report Podcast. Also, go to ProWrestlingTees.com and type in Gurick in the search bar and buy one of our three shirts up there right now at ProWrestlingTees.com.
This is Frank D. of the Gurick Report Podcast. Are you at home right now, bored out of your mind, nothing on TV, nothing to do? How about indulging yourself in an audiobook today? Go to audibletrial.com/gurick.net. That's audibletrial.com/GERWECK.net. Go up there, get your free audiobook. You get to keep it even if you don't keep the service. It's a win-win situation. So that's audibletrial.com/gurick.net. Over 150,000 titles to choose from. They have fiction books up there, non-fiction books. They have professional wrestling books. Everything is up there. You name it, they got it. audibletrial.com/GERWECK.net. Gurick.net. Check it out today. And thank you for your continued support of the Gurick Report Podcast.